Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, with yours truly, Glenn Robison, on Island Radio, KISL Avalon, at 88.7 on your FM dial, and anywhere on the planet at KISLAvalon.com on your internet dial. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. March is Women's History Month, so we here at Rapidly Rotating Records are joining in to commemorate and encourage the study, observance, and celebration of the vital role of women in American history and in recording history. All of the records on this week's show will be by or about women. And we're going to start off the show with one of the most famous of them, the last of the Red Hot Mamas, Sophie Tucker.
It's a fact it is that we women folk are beating all you men. You get evidence of it every day. Now just look what we go through and the clever things that we do, and we surely have this to say. Aren't women wonderful? Aren't women grand? Aren't they the rulers of this happy land? They fly the Atlantic while countries explore, where lions and tigers and savages roar. Then they faint dead away when they see a little mouse on the floor. Boys, aren't women wonderful? Aren't women grand? I said, aren't women wonderful? Aren't women grand? Aren't they the rulers of this happy land? A man who's so old that he should take to his bed will try monkey glands and he'll get married instead. But we know who put the big idea in his head. You know who? Women, 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 aren't women grand? Though we like to think it to boast about man being supreme, still he's got to play second fiddle, no doubt. Though he's big and tall, maybe she's short and small, yet she can count him out. Oh, aren't women wonderful? Aren't women grand? Aren't they the rulers of this happy, happy land? When baby is expected, you chuckle with glee and think how you'll dangle the kid on your knee. A girl or a boy you'd like, but she hands you three, no fooling. Aren't women wonderful? Aren't women grand? Aren't women wonderful? Aren't women grand? Aren't they the rulers of this happy, happy land? How kings have been conquered, the history books tell. For instance, Anne Boleyn, and also Sweet Nell. Surely you know Cleopatra and Sophie Tucker as well. I must say that we women are wonderful, boys. No fooling. Women are grand.
Sophie Tucker with Aren't Women Wonderful. Sophie was backed there by Ted Shapiro and his orchestra on British Columbia 5064, recorded in London on August 30th, 1928, and Ted Shapiro wrote the music, but the lyrics are credited only to Scott. I tried a couple of years ago when I last played this to find out who Scott is, with no luck, and fared no better this time. The history of the U.S. women's suffrage movement begins with the 1848 Seneca Falls Convention and is followed by marches, picketing, vigils, strikes, protests, numerous state campaigns, court battles, and petitions to Congress. By 1916, almost all of the major suffrage organizations were united behind the goal of a constitutional amendment. When New York adopted woman suffrage in 1917 and President Wilson changed his position to support an amendment in 1918, the political balance began to shift. On May 21, 1919, the House of Representatives passed the amendment, and 2 weeks later the Senate followed. When Tennessee became the 36th state to ratify the amendment on August 18, 1920, it passed its final hurdle of obtaining the agreement of three-fourths of the states. Secretary of State Bainbridge Colby certified the ratification on August 26, 1920. Here are some rapidly rotating records having to do with women's right to vote.
In Pineville are getting kind of excited over this women's voting question. You see, there was a woman come to give a lecture on the subject, and she got a lot of the women all rousted up about wanting to vote. They hadn't thought of such a thing before, but that suffering elocutionist was sure a smart one to talk, and she told them over a whole lot of laws they could get passed that would make the whole country more comfortable if only the women could vote. According to her idea, all the saloons and the sweatshops and corporations and the devil and the Senate and all other forms of iniquity would be canceled if only the females could get the ballot. So they finally decided to organize a society called the Pineville Women's Rights and General Improvement League. And Matilda Tolliver, Ab Tolliver's gal, was elected president. And they held their meetings in Oddfellows Hall up over the carriage shop. Well, last 4th of July, they had a parade. They had to got them a lot of banners and sashes and ribbons and bonnets, all marked votes for women, and they hired the Pineville band to play for them, and they sure did make a commotion. But it didn't amount to nothing. No, you see, what they was after was to send a representative to Montpelier that was in favor of their ideas. But land sakes, they might have known that wasn't no use, for that matter's all thrashed out and decided by the invisible order of politicians, and nobody else, male nor female, has anything to say about it. But they seemed to enjoy themselves, and as Sile Haskins said, they didn't do no harm, so nobody worried much about it. I wasn't much struck on the idea myself, nor I wasn't another. Some way women, married ones especially, look better to me in a league less conspicuous capacity. If the single ones want something a little more exciting to do than darning stockings and making sofa pillows, why, let them vote. If they can do it quiet and peaceable, they're just as liable to be right as anybody, according to my notion. But most all the men folks, they seem to be agin it. You see, that female orator said that Mr. Wilson and Mr. Bryan and Mr. Roosevelt was all on their side. And every man in Pineville is a Republican, pure and simple, by ancestry, heredity, human nature, and previous condition of servitude, now and forever, world without end. And as these gentlemen mentioned, want what you might call stand-pat Republicans, that argument didn't cut no ice in Pineville amongst the voters. Speaking of Republican majorities in Vermont, Jock Sullivan said he took his boy Tim to the Slocum Junction Fair when he was a little shaver, and when it came time to go home, Jock asked the boy if he'd seen everything he wanted to. Well, Tim said there was one thing he hadn't seen. Jock asked him what it was, and the boy said he would like to see a Democrat.
Call me the mon. I feel just like a hole in the donut. Since my Margaret, she become a the suffragette. My heart is a one shipwreck. She wear the pants that kill a romance all day. Daffy like a dilly, poor old wop. Oh, to my eyes come the big teardrop. No more I eat a spaghetti, since my Margaret become the suffragette. That's all right. Since my Margaret she become the suffragette, she said to me, "Hey, Tony, play me a little Spanish. I want to shoot at the bull." Since Margaret she got the habit, no more, I got a home like a rabbit. Poor Antone, he must sleep with the monk alone. Like busy bee, I make the honey. She call me trash and take the money. My bank book leap gets so small like the shrimp. In my business, she put one a big cream. Since my Margaret, she become a the suffragette. My heart is a one shipwreck. She wear the pants that kill a romance all day. Daffy like a dilly, poor old wop. Oh, to my eyes come the big teardrop. No more I eat a spaghetti since my Margaret become a the suffragette.
Will D. Cobb and Gus Edwards' comic song about women's right to vote, Since My Margaret Became a Suffragette. You've heard Andreas Burkhardt, Addison Burkhardt, and John Burkhardt on the show before, but that's the first time for Maurice J. Burkhardt on Victor 17145, recorded on April 11, 1912. Maurice Burkhardt began his career as a song plugger for Ted Snyder, Irving Berlin's music publisher and business partner. In 1913, his vaudeville career took off, and he spent less time in the recording studio, making his last commercial recording for Edison in 1920. A Harmony record catalog said he had great success introducing new songs for Snyder, and was possessed of a most pleasing personality, and his smile has won him many steadfast friends in the charmed circle of vaudevilledom. And you may be hearing more from him in upcoming shows. Before Maurice Burkhart was American comedian and folklorist Charles Ross Taggart, who appeared all over the country between 1895 and 1938, billed as the Man from Vermont and the Old Country Fiddler. We heard the Old Country Fiddler on Woman Suffrage from Victor 18036, February 3, 1916. Taggart recorded at least 20 such monologues as the Old Country Fiddler, opining on subjects including astronomy, the telephone, restaurants, schools, Victrolas, and religion. We started that suffrage segment with Fall in Line, performed by the Victor Military Band on Victor 17658, July 15, 1914. Fall in Line was composed by Zena S. Hahn and is also known as the Suffrage March. When they think of American female aviation pioneers, if they think of American female aviation pioneers at all, most people think of Amelia Earhart, the first female aviator to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. There were, of course, lots of other female aviation pioneers. In 1910, Blanche Stewart Scott became the first woman to fly at a public event in America. This after she was the first woman to drive across the United States, westward from New York City to San Francisco. In 1910, Bessica Reich made the first official solo flight by a woman in the United States. The following year, Harriet Quimby was the first American woman to obtain a pilot's license, and in 1912, the first woman to fly across the English Channel. In 1939, shortly after Amelia Earhart's disappearance, Red River Dave McInerney wrote the song Amelia Earhart's Last Flight. In 1927, Vernon Dalhart recorded Mildred Doran's Last Flight. I'll tell you about Mildred Doran on the other side.
Of the great deeds that men have done, of heroes so brave and so true, and history's pages are filled with those who died for the red, white, and blue. But this is a song of a maiden fair, no man could be braver than she. For she gave her life for her country's cause when her airship went down in the sea. They sailed proudly off through the Golden Gate, two men and the maid, Miss Doran. And their airship was turned toward the setting sun on their flight toward a far distant land. Their friends on the land waved a fond farewell as the ship quickly sped from their view. And many a heart breathed a prayer that night for the maiden so brave and so true. Then came the word, Mildred Doran is lost, and great ships were rushed from the shore. And long were the hours that they searched in vain, but the airship was seen nevermore. And sad were the hearts of the world that night when they heard of the fair maiden's fate. And her friends once again seemed to see her smile as she flew through the old Golden Gate. We know that the great pilot called her home, her airship is anchored on shore. And there with the angels around the throne, her troubles and trials are o'er. Oh, we should take heed from this story sad, for life is uncertain withal, and we should be ready to meet our fate, for we know not when death may befall.
Vernon Dalhart on Challenge 557, October 10th, 1927, with Mildred Duran's Last Flight, written by Carson Robison. Dalhart also recorded it a month or so earlier as Al Craver for Columbia, with the slightly different title, The Fate of Mildred Duran. Mildred Alice Duran was a Canadian aviation enthusiast and the only woman to enter the Dole Air Race in 1927, created to be the first to fly from California to Hawaii. Publicly saying women certainly have the courage and tenacity required for long flights, she convinced the head of Lincoln Petroleum Company to enter a plane in the race and to allow her to fly along with pilot John Pedlar and navigator Vilas Knopp. The aircraft was a Buell air sedan biplane named the Miss Duran in her honor. Unfortunately, they never made it to Hawaii, and no trace of the plane was ever found. Take heed from that sad story, for life is uncertain with all, and we should be ready to meet our fate, for we know not when death may befall. And on that happy note, I'm Glenn Robison, and you and I are listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes, from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. So we've had songs about women's suffrage and women in aviation, so it only makes sense that we'd have some rapidly rotating records about women in the military. On March 17, 1917, Loretta Walsh was the first woman to officially enlist in the military, specifically the Naval Reserve, as the first female chief petty officer. But women have been serving in the military in one form or another for more than 200 years. During the Revolutionary War, as colonial militias armed themselves and joined George Washington's Continental Army, many of these soldiers' wives, sisters, daughters, and mothers went with them. These women traveled alongside the Continental Army, where they boosted morale, as well as helped in the effort as they mended clothes, tended to wounds, foraged for food, cooked, and cleaned both laundry and cannons. Margaret Corbin, for example, disguised herself as a man and traveled with her husband to the front lines of the Battle of Fort Washington, where she helped him load his cannon. When her husband was shot by enemy fire, Corbin carried on fighting, even after being shot three times. She was given a military pension in acknowledgement of her efforts, and years after her death was reburied at West Point with full military honors. So here are a couple of rapidly rotating records about women in the military.
A little lad with curly hair stood by his father's knee. Could see that he was crying, he was sad as he could be. He sobbed and said, I feel so blue, as tears ran down his cheek. Oh, father, where is mother? She has not been home for weeks. His pa said, lad, the tale is sad, she's down at Suffrage Hall. She's gone to fight for women's rights. Why, there's their bugle call. Hear the tramp of their feet as they come down the street. Gee, those girlies look sweet, they're all dressed up so neat. Your dear old ma just took a fighter's place. She likes the smell of powder, cause it's always on her face. There's no rats in her hair, you can see she don't care. Holds her head in the air, gee, your mother's a bear. Tramp, 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 the girls are marching. Your mother's gone away to join the army. The streets were lined with people, there were crowds along the way. The husbands brought their children, for the troops were home that day. And all the men looked for their wives, the kids yelled for their moms. They longed to see the heroines, all full of battle scars. The lad so fair with curly hair said, Pa, let's shout hooray. Ma's home true blue to fight with you, no more you'll have to say. hear the tramp of their feet as they come down the street. Gee, those girlies look sweet, they're all dressed up so neat. Now all those marks you see are not gunshots. She bought them at the drugstore and they're only beauty spots. There's no rats in her hair, you can see she don't care. Hold her head in the air, gee, your mother's a bear. Tramp, 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 the girls are marching. Your mother's gone away to join the army.
Behind me aren't behind me anymore. They're putting on a uniform and they're marching off to war. Brunette and blonde will all respond and just you wait and see. It won't take very long before they win the victory. Wait till the girls get into the army, boys. Wait till the girls get into the fight. Imagine what the enemy will do when they appear. They'll throw away their arms and holler, I surrender, dear. Oh, wait till the girls get into the army, boys. Everything will be all right. Get into the fray. The day they see those glamour girls are marching in the ranks, they'll run to tell their generals that we're off to join the Yanks. So wait till the girls get into the army, boys. Everything will be okay. My wife gets into the army, boys. Wait till my wife gets into the fight. Oh, she won't need a cannon when the battles all begin, 'cause she can lick a regiment with just a rolling pin. Oh, wait till my wife gets into the army, boys. Everything will be all right.
Terry Shand and his orchestra, with Terry Shand himself providing the vocal on Wait Till the Girls Get Into the Army, Boys. That's from Decca 4320, recorded February 27, 1942. Before that, Billy Murray telling his son, Your mother's gone away to join the army, on December 9, 1913, from Victor 17516. Your Mother's Gone Away to Join the Army was composed by Raymond Walker, with the lyrics by Thomas J. Gray. Aviation and the military are not the only fields that women have had to work hard to break into. Here's a song about another.
Was a picture fan, and she worked hard all day. Washing dishes, still she had wishes to star in a photo play. One day Mary fell asleep, it seemed. Mary had some very pretty dreams. She dreamed a fairy came to her that day, and she thought she heard it say, Come out of the kitchen, Mary, darling. Come out of the kitchen, Mary Ann. Why waste your time cooking Irish stew when Mary pickled and fed the batter will step aside for you? How would you like to be shown with Charlie Chaplin? your picture pasted on each garbage can. It's a cinch, there's nothing to do, just let him kick you black and blue. Come over the kitchen, Mary Ann. In her dreams, Mary posed, it seems, within a burning barn. And from out the smoke, her brave hero spoke, I'll save you from all harm. The missus then caught her sleeping, yelled awake, what's the idea? You're burning all the steak. She lost the job and now she dreams all day, waiting for someone to stay. Come out of the kitchen, Mary, darling. Come out of the kitchen, Mary Ann. Girls like you were never meant to work. All you need is a different face and you look like Billy Burke. How would you like to be kissed by Douglas Fairbanks? Have Francis Bushman love you as he can. Dressed up like Velasquez the rat and imagine being paid for that. Come out of the kitchen, Mary Ann. Come out of the kitchen, Mary darling. Come out of the kitchen, Mary Ann. Why waste your time cooking Irish stew when Mary Pickford and Thesta Barrow will step aside for you? How would you like to be shown with Charlie Chaplin? Your picture pasted on each garbage can. Easy money, nothing to do, just let a train run over you. Come out of the kitchen, Mary Ann.
Even now in 2024, some people believe, and a few even articulate, that a woman's place is, and they should stay in, the kitchen. But there you have M.J. O'Connell singing about Mary Ann, dreaming of being in a photo play, that is, a movie, with her fairy godmother urging her to come out of the kitchen, Mary Ann, written by James Kendis and Charles Beha. O'Connell also recorded it for Victor the following year, but we heard his December 20th, 1916 recording, issued on Columbia, A2189. Most people know that back in Shakespeare's time, there were no female actors, and all the parts were played by men. And, of course, time was when there were no female actors in films. Canadian-American actress Florence Lawrence, known as the Biograph Girl, was the first woman to be publicly named as an actress in a film, and apparently the first woman with a leading role in a movie. Lawrence starred in hundreds of films during the early 20th century, and in D.W. Griffith's The Heart of Oyama, she played the titular character. As I said, women having the vote and being in aviation, the military, politics, and the movies are still a problem for a lot of people. Here's Bill Cox with his tongue-in-cheek take on When the Women Get in Power.
Fine morning we'll all awake, find the stand that the women will take. They'll change this world all upside down. We'll have a lady mayor in every town. They'll spend all the money that the poor men make to run the country they'll undertake. They say the men do not advance, so I think it's time that the women had the pants. The men will have to sit house and fix while the women talk politics. They'll go in the legislation walls. They say they're going to make the laws. The old maids will be in power then. Say they'll marry all the single men. And the man refuses to take a wife will have to go to the pen for life. The men will have to take back seats while the women police the streets. Then you'll dare not smoke or chew, for you'll catch it if you do. They'll be running the court, you see. Judge and jury there will be. What she says will have to go when we poor men won't stand no show. Thank you. married men. By 9 o'clock you'll have to be in. She'll search your pockets, and if you ain't right, she'll lick you if you come home tight. She'll tell you that she's boss now, there won't be no use to raise a row. You'll have to obey your mother-in-law, and silence be unto her jaw. Now ever since the world began, the women have tried to rule the men. She made man commit the first offense, and she's been after him ever since. Now God made the world and he rested then, then he made a man and he rested again. Then he made a woman for man's expense, and God and her man never rested since.
Early country singer, harmonica player, and guitarist Bill Cox, also known as the Dixie Songbird, describing the world as he envisions it, when the women get in power. That Banner 78 was made in New York on August 31, 1933. Well, for the rest of this special Women's History edition of Rapidly Rotating Records, we're just going to have some tunes written by, and or at least performed by, women. Here's Ruth Etting.
I will close mine. Close your eyes. Let's pretend that we're both counting sheep. Close your eyes. Oh, this is divine. Under a midnight sky, watching a single star, thrilled by the beauty up above. Alone, just you and I, hearing a steel guitar, thrilled by the beauty of our love. Close your eyes. Your head on my shoulder and sleep. Close your eyes, and I will close mine. Close your eyes. Let's pretend that we're both counting sheep. Close your eyes. Oh, this is divine. Dreamy for dancing while we're here romancing. It's love's holiday, and love will be our guide. Close your eyes. When you open them, dear, I'll be here by your side. So won't you close your eyes.
I've got those lonesome blues and I'm feeling mighty. I said mighty, I mean bad. I've got those lonesome blues and I'm feeling mighty bad. Oh, the blues ain't nothing but a good gal feeling bad. I breeze ain't hitting you, you're only getting low.
Well, it wasn't written by a woman, but Louis Alter's tune, Hi-Hat, was played by two of them, duo pianists Constance Mehring and Muriel Pollack. Columbia recorded that on June 12, 1928, with takes 1 and 3, issued as catalog number 1447-D. Mehring and Pollack aren't sisters, but before them were two sisters, Jenny and Pauline Bowman, with Old Lonesome Blues from Columbia 15621-D. I don't know who wrote Old Lonesome Blues, but the violinist was the sister's father, East Tennessee fiddler Charlie Bowman. It was recorded at the Johnson City Sessions on October 23, 1929, along with three other issued sides. At the time, the sisters were teenagers, and in the early 1930s, they joined the Lowe's Metropolitan Theater vaudeville circuit and toured as part of the Blue Ridge Ramblers, a 12-piece band, which also included their father. In 1931, they performed 249 days of the year, but eventually Pauline left the act to get married and later ran a cafe in East Tennessee called The Green Bean. We started the set with Ruth Etting and Close Your Eyes, written by Bernice Petkier, who also brought us Lullaby of the Leaves, Stay Out of My Dreams, and Hats Off, Here Comes a Lady. Close Your Eyes was recorded September 21st, 1933, issued on Brunswick 6657. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on Island Radio, FM 88.7 KISL Avalon, and KISLAvalon.com. This and all our previous shows are also available 24/7, on demand, anytime at all, online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. It's harder than you might think to find songs written and performed by women. We usually hear Vaughn DeLeith singing, but she was also a composer, and here's one of her songs, sung by Mamie Smith. Let's take a musical trip to New Orleans, shall we?
Mississippi, paddle wheel, pound for dear God takes his time, I'll go for any time. I'm a fast-moving gal, I'd like some slow. Got no use for fancy driving, wanna see a guy arriving in low. I'd be satisfied, electrified, I know a guy what takes his time. A hurry-up affair, I always give the air. Wouldn't give any Russian gent a smile. I could go for any singer who would condescend to linger a while. What a lullaby would be supplied to have a guy what takes his time. Oh, a guy what takes his time, I'll go for any time. A hasty job really spoils a master's touch. I don't like a big commotion, I'm a demon for slow motion or such. Why should I deny that I would die to know a guy what takes his time? There isn't any fun in getting something done if you're rushed when you have to make the grade. I can spot an amateur, appreciate a connoisseur at his trade. Who would qualify, no alibi, to be the guy what takes his time? Oh, oh, oh.
We started with Sophie Tucker, and there you have another Red Hot Mama, Mae West, with A Guy What Takes His Time, from Brunswick 6495. Recorded February 7, 1933, her first commercial recording. A Guy What Takes His Time was written by Ralph Ranger, and West sings it in the Paramount picture She Done Him Wrong. Before Mae West was Mamie Smith and her Jazz Hounds with New Orleans, written by Vaughn DeLeith. That's from OK 4630, recorded in May of 1922. Throughout history, lots of women have gone without credit for their accomplishments, and so we're going to end the show by giving some credit where credit is due. You've no doubt heard the OK Laughing record and might have wondered who belongs to the female voice, since no one is credited on the label. I was going to play the OK Laughing record, but I have another of her laughing records, so figured I'd play it instead. I'll let you know who she is on the other side.
Ha ha!
While she may not be credited on the OK Laughing record, but she is on that German gramophone 78 number B46649. Lucy Bernardo was the stage name of Johanna Sandfuchs, born in Stuttgart on October 3, 1885. She trained as a singer and worked in spoken theater, opera, and Singspiel, a form of German light opera, usually comic in tone, which led to her having a separate career as a laughing artist. The title of the record is Jazz Band aus Krawinkel, with Krawinkel meaning a place of yokels. It's credited to Lucy Bernardo mit Jazz Orchestra. The Jazz Orchestra, in this case, is the Excellus 5. The Excellus 5 was formed in Brussels in 1923 and recorded in Berlin in 1925 and 26, and I'm happy to say you'll be hearing more from them, without Lucy Bernardo, in upcoming shows. And as long as I'm giving credit where credit is due, the male voice on the OK Laughing record is Otto Rathke. He was a conductor and cornetist, although he was not the cornetist on the OK Laughing record. That honor goes to Felix Silbers. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour with me listening to the nearly all-female edition of Rapidly Rotating Records in celebration of Women's History Month. If you had half as much fun as I did, then I had twice as much fun as you. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.